This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. So my wife works at a dentist office, and when we return home each day, I ask her how her day went. And every once in a while, she'll say to me, "It went really well. We had a lunch and learn." Now, a lunch and learn is something that happens occasionally in her office when a salesperson wants to pitch a particular product to their office. It might be a new type of device, or it might be a new type of toothpaste, or mouthwash, or dental floss. And in agreement, in order to pitch this product, they agree to provide the entire office with a free lunch. That's what I think is happening in our scripture reading today. It's sort of a lunch and learn. That Jesus has just performed one of his well-known miracles, the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus performed this miracle, the scripture tells us, not so that people could just be physically fed, but they might become to believe in him as the Savior and the Lord and the Messiah. But you see, the thing is that Jesus got the impression that the followers were more interested in the lunch than they were in the learn. Here's what I mean. When the followers came to Jesus, they came to him with almost this attitude that was a great trick, Jesus. That was a great meal that you gave us. What else can you do for us? And I think sometimes if we're honest with ourselves, that's how we base our faith in Jesus as well. If we feel like God is honoring our prayers, if God is recognizing our prayers, if God is doing what we want him to do, then our faith is strong. Our belief in God is strong as well. But if we feel like our will is out of sync with God's will, our faith often falters. You see, sometimes our faith is only as strong as whether or not God is meeting our requests, or in some situations, our demands. But in our scripture reading today, Jesus encourages us to have a faith that is wider and deeper than our present needs, a faith that goes beyond what we want and instead looks to a bigger, more important question. Our scripture reading today happens immediately after the feeding of the 5,000. And in this scripture reading, it's important to understand what the first followers believed that the Messiah, the Savior of the whole world, would do. You see, for a long period of time, Israel was governed and controlled by the Jewish people. And if you read the Old Testament and the scriptures as a whole, you see throughout history there are periods where foreign invaders, foreign governments come in and take control of Israel. And Jesus' followers are living in one such time. They're living in a time where the Roman government controls Jerusalem, controls Israel. And they believe that a Messiah, a Savior, one day will come and restore Israel to its rightful glory. That this Messiah and the Savior will be a great military leader like King David, and he will usher in a reign of peace and prosperity for all the followers for all time. Now, when Jesus began to perform miracles, whispers and conversations began to grow that maybe this was the Messiah. This was the one who the scriptures foretold about. This is the one that the scriptures promised. And so his following grew and grew and grew until the crowd grew to thousands. And late in the day, the disciples said that you've been preaching and teaching for a while, Jesus, doing a wonderful job, but it's time to send the crowds home. It's time to send the crowds into the neighboring towns and villages because they are hungry and need something to eat. Jesus said to the disciples, if they need something to eat, then you feed them. The disciples looked at Jesus, surprised, saying, there is nothing to eat out here in the middle of nowhere. There is only a boy with a lunch that only has enough food to feed a handful of people. And then we know what happens next. Jesus blesses the fish and the loaves and feeds all of the 5,000 people. So much so that the scripture tells us that there were leftovers. And that's where our scripture reading picks up today. Jesus leaves the crowd, but the crowd follows him. Again, intrigued, but they're looking not to follow Jesus. They are looking to bargain with Jesus. They're looking to bargain with Jesus because in the scripture readings, they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, that was a wonderful trick. That was a great thing that you did, feeding us, feeding the 5,000. But you know, if you read the Old Testament, when Moses was in the desert, Moses was able to provide bread, manna from the sky, each and every day for his followers. Moses was able to make sure that his followers were fed every day. You have done one day very well. Can you keep it going? Jesus points out to them correctly that it was not Moses that fed them, but God. And that Jesus would feed them, but not in the way that they thought. Jesus was looking to give them, first and foremost, not physical bread, but spiritual bread. Jesus said that he is the bread of life, and those who believe in him will never be hungry, will never be thirsty. See, the truth of the matter is, we often struggle with this word, this idea, enough. You see, in our culture, in our world today, there is an entire industry out there that is designed around the idea that you do not have enough. That you, in your present state, with what you have and how you feel, is not enough. And so you need to improve your life with material goods and material wealth. You see, if everybody just all of a sudden stopped buying things, if everybody said that this Christmas, you know what? We all have enough that we need. We don't need to buy gifts for each other anymore. The entire economy would collapse. You see, we call it Black Friday because it's the day of the year where retail companies finally become profitable. And there's nothing wrong with buying Christmas gifts for loved ones. It's a wonderful tradition. But what I am saying is that there is an entire force behind each and every one of us that says that you are not enough. And so it's easy to come to God and say to ourselves, God, I am not enough. I do not have enough. I need more. I need this. I need you to fill this request. I need you to help me with this problem. I need you to give me this much money. I need you to fix this ailment that I have. And on and on and on it goes. But the problem with this is no matter how much that we have, it will never be enough. If we're always believing that we need to be more and have more, not even God himself can meet all of our needs. You see, this attitude of not having enough, not being enough, is sort of like weather in the Midwest. Yeah, there are a few days throughout the year where you walk outside and you say to yourself, wow, this is great. This is the perfect did it. But watch the weather, and it's almost always too cold or too hot, too rainy or too dry. You see, life is not operated based on our thermostats. Life does not operate based on our whims. And if we always are believing that God is supposed to meet our needs, we will always feel like God is letting us down. Instead, what Jesus wants us to understand in this scripture reading is that he is enough, that God is enough. That when we pursue Jesus, we do not necessarily get material wealth or material goods. We don't necessarily get everything that we want. When we pursue Jesus, what we get is Jesus. Jesus is essentially saying, you are searching for physical bread, but I am spiritual bread. Search for me, and I am enough. So the question then becomes, if we want to live our life in such a way where we say that God is enough, how does that look different? How does it look different from moving to an idea of saying, God meet my needs, to saying that God is enough? Well, there's a couple things I think that are important. Recently, I went to a conference of pastors throughout the Northern Illinois Synod. And as most of you know, that Grace Lutheran Church is part of something called the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And this denomination is made up of different synods and districts. And each synod, if you will, is led by a different bishop. And every 6 years, there's a bishop election. And recently, we elected a new bishop. And when a new leader comes to lead an organization or lead a church in this case, they often have different forums and gatherings to sort of gain insights from the fellow leaders and participants to understand what their needs are and how this leader can effectively meet their needs. And this is what our bishop did at a conference. Our bishop was fielding all sorts of questions and requests, and there were all sorts of people standing up and saying things like, "Bishop, I really think we should have a this," or I really think that your staff should do this," or "Bishop, I really think that you should do this," or "you should be about this." And the requests were great, and the bishop was very gracious and responsive to these requests, and until one pastor stood up and said something that was very profound to me. In the midst of all the different requests, the pastor raised their hand and said, "Bishop, I just want to know what we can do to help you." You see, this person was not looking to have the bishop serve their agenda. They were looking to help the bishop serve their agenda. You see, and I think that's what we are called to do with God. You see, when we say the words of the Lord's Prayer each and every week in worship, we don't say, "My kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We say, "God, we want not my will to be done, but we want your will to be done." We say we want God's will to be done because we understand that God's will is greater and more important than our will. That God's will must be done. And what we are called to do as Christians is not to have God serve our agenda, but to ask ourselves, what is God up to in our life? And how can I serve his agenda? How can I serve his will? Now, what I don't want you to come away from this sermon thinking is that as Christians, we are never supposed to ask God for things. We are never supposed to ask God and make requests of God. That God wants us to regularly do that. He regularly wants us to come to him with all our concerns and all our needs and all our requests. But he wants us to do that within the foundation of thy will be done. Thy will be done should be the first and most important prayer. It should be the basis of our requests. Because if we come to God first with thy will be done and then our requests, even when God does not meet our requests, even when God does not respond to our prayers in the way that we want, we will trust that God is answering our prayers in some way that we don't fully see and understand. You see, when you seek to serve God's will and not your will, you will be filled with a sense of gratitude. You will make requests to God from a place of feeling blessed. You will see that God has already given to you what you need. God has already given to you what you need to do his will, to live the life that he intends. I'm reminded the story of the Wizard of Oz, and I'm reminded of that classic tale of when Dorothy is taken away from home and she's gone to Oz, and she goes through all these different adventures and goes to all these different places, and she thinks she needs all these different things to go back home. She thinks she all these different things to go back where she belongs. Until the end, it's revealed to her that the thing that she needs to return home is the thing that she's already has, the ruby slippers. You see, she could have gone home anytime she wanted, because she had the slippers, but all the while she was distracted by many, many things. Jesus is the same way. Before we go out into the world and we pursue opportunities and things, before we try to build lives for ourselves and the people that we care about, realize that the thing that you need most above all is the love and forgiveness and salvation found in Jesus Christ. Before you embark on your day each and every day, ask God, God, how do you want to use me today? I'm reminded by the old quote that says, in God's will is our peace. If you want to have peace, you don't start by serving your own will and your own agenda. If you want to have peace, you start by asking, what is God's will? I'd like to close with a quote, and this comes from St. Francis of Assisi, and I think it says better than what I could about what our scripture reading is about today. St. Francis says this, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. See, the beautiful thing about doing God's will, it doesn't mean that your life is always easy. It doesn't mean that all your requests and all your needs are always met. But what it does mean is you always have purpose. You see that God has a purpose for you. And from purpose comes peace. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder that life, as much as we make it sometimes, it's not all about us and our needs. Life is about your will. And so help us align ourselves with your will and to seek to meet your needs and the needs of others. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at @glc_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.